Hey everyone, what's going on? It's Josh, JC Alfelto for The Writer's Lens, and I got another review episode here coming at you with not a TV show this time after my 9-hour binge fest of Stranger Things Season 2, but rather a book series, a trilogy, called Red Rising, Golden Sun, and Morning Star by author Pierce Brown. And if you're familiar with the Red Rising trilogy, you may or may not be. It's I believe it was a New York Times bestseller. The first book, I think, came out in 2014, and then Golden Sun, which was the sequel, came out in 2015, and then Morning Star, I believe, was released in like 2016. But it's taken me literally 2-3 years to finish everything, because I got Red Rising and I got Golden Sun back in, I think, 2015, and I had to wait a year for Morning Star to come out, and then I finally finished that, and every book got successively bigger. I think the last one I just finished was over 500 pages. But if you're unfamiliar with the series, with the trilogy, or even the author, Red Rising is a dystopian novel set about 700 to, I think, 800 years in the future from now, where there is a caste system based upon colors to rule the human race. And the Golds, as it were, are at the pinnacle of human evolution, of human hierarchy, and they dictate to all the other colors how things ought to be in our advanced solar system. Or I should say terraformed solar system. And the reds are the very bottommost rung of the foundation of colors. So there's like reds, I think, and then blues are above them, and then oranges are above them, and then it goes to like whites and silvers, and then the golds are at the very top. And the reds have a main character, who it becomes the main character, I should say, by the name of Darrow. And Darrow is a red, and which is hence the title of the first book called Red Rising. And he has red hair, red eyes, and that's kind of how the color scheme goes. So if you're a blue, you have, I think, blue hair, blue eyes, but you may have no hair at all. But you're niched into being a computer data analyst. I mean, that's what the blues are good for. Yellows are like medical people, from what I remember from the series. Silvers are really good with money. Whites are kind of like clergymen and clergywomen, doing different things with religious practices that might still exist. Or I guess purveying religious beliefs to all the different colors so that they stay in line. And then the golds are kind of like ancient Roman and Greek conquerors. I mean, they have this system that's very, it's not tyrannical is the right word, but almost archaic in the way that only the strong survive is the way that they view themselves. But they're huge people. They're like 7 feet tall on average, or at least the men are. They can break stones with their hands. They're physically imposing. They're very physically intimidating. It's very unique how Pierce describes each one of them, even though they're all gold-eyed and golden-haired. But they all have somewhat slightly different skin colors. So your skin color does not necessarily mean that you're your skin color could be off yellow, and it doesn't mean you're a yellow. Okay, that's just how he dictated the whole story, but. But basically, that's the gist of it. There's this hierarchy of colors that exists, and the story starts on Mars, which is the whole reason why I even picked up this book. Because when I was writing my book, The Road to Mars, I wanted to see what other Martian-themed, I shouldn't say Martian, Mars-themed books were out there. So anything else that was current or had just come out that was dealing with the concept of Mars, I was looking into, and I wanted to read it because I was more than aware of John Carter from Mars, which is like 100 years old now, written by Edgar Rice Burroughs. I was more than familiar with, the cheesy Hollywood films like Attack from Mars or whatever. And there were other movies like Red Planet and Mission to Mars, and most recently the book The Martian, which actually was a self-published book that became nationally known and then became a movie with Matt Damon, which was actually pretty good. I'm not going to review that now, but I've been really trying to figure out, aside from other science fiction books, who else thinks that Mars is a cool place to go to? Who else thought that Mars was a good place to start? And obviously, Mr. Brown thought this was a good place to start. So his characters begin on the planet Mars, and they're miners, they're lowly workers. There's obviously this kind of underlying tone of blue-collar work versus high... they're not even white-collar, but the Golds are sort of seen as these imperialists. You know, they're like the elites of society. And it's called the Society from what I remember. But I literally just finished reading Morning Star, which was the third book in this series. And I know Pierce is doing more books in this universe because he ought to, because he just crafted a huge, huge universe and play on words here because it is in the it does have an expanded solar system that everything happens in. But he, one thing I will say before I get even into the review myself, that Pierce did a great job of was establishing this sense of a giant, large-scale grouping of people. That was really cool. So I just want to get that out of the way before I get started on this actual review, now that I'm probably a good 5 minutes in giving the foundation of what this was about. So again, 700 years in the future, there's a hierarchy of colors. Apparently, that years ago, there was an uprising from the Golds where they took over Earth. They ended up capitalizing on everything, and they created this society with colors to terraform the rest of the known solar system. So everything that happens, happens within the solar system that we know of. So everything from Mercury all the way out to Pluto, which is still up to debate whether it's a planet or not. So everything's been terraformed for the most part. And Darrow's character, the main character, as you learn, is has this grimy, grungy kind of life. He's a hell diver, I think is what it's called. And he chews around for minerals in Mars's core called helium-3, which is meant to help terraform other planets. And he's fed this lie from the time he's born that he's helping other citizens above Earth, or Earth above Mars on the surface, survive through his endeavors. And the Golds are the ones that are basically telling him all this, and they've established this religious system called the Veil, which is very Viking, almost like, that when you die, you go to the Veil, and Darrow obviously believes this when he's down there mining for things. And the whole thing ends up getting kickstarted by the fact that Darrow's wife, which her name is Eo, I think E-O is how it is spelled, who they're both like 17 years old when this whole thing happens, because apparently the Reds don't last more than like 35 years or 40 years. If they grow to be 40 years old, it's like wow, you're an old guy because of the conditions that they live within. So Darrow's wife actually ends up being martyred. She's killed for singing some kind of song that is forbidden by the Golds, because apparently it's some kind of song that's associated with uprisings, and it's associated with rebelliousness. And she does this, and she ends up getting hung for her rebellious nature. Now, Darrow's father was also killed in a very similar manner. So Darrow's got all this death around him, and he starts to get this vengeful heart inside of him, and he wants to make a difference. He wants to rise up against the society. Well, he finds out that there's this group called the Sons of Ares, very intentional name, the Sons of Ares, like with Mars. The Sons of Ares, who are the Lords of War, are trying to overthrow the society, and away we go. Darrow rises up the ranks. He ends up actually becoming a genetically modified Gold. So here's all the spoilers that I'm going to throw at you now. He becomes a genetically modified Gold by a carver named Mickey, who is like a violet, I think is his color. And he rises up the ranks. He pretends to be a Gold. He learns their infrastructure. He learns their systems, finds out how cruel they are. But then, of course, he becomes friends and falls in love. He eventually falls in love with another fellow Gold, a woman named Virginia that he calls Mustang. From there, it's more and more like killings and all this kind of stuff. Now, the whole feel of this trilogy is very fast-paced, dark atmosphere. Okay, it's a very young adult fiction kind of book. So if you're into young adult fiction that's very similar to The Hunger Games or perhaps Divergent series or Maze Runner, this is right up your alley, okay? This is very similar. And I know that Mr. Brown has been interviewed about this. I've seen him in interviews on YouTube where he's asked the question of, well, how does your book differentiate itself from other young adult science fiction books like Divergent or Hunger Games? And his answer is always the characters. You know, my characters are very unique. And I'll give him some credit on that. He does create some pretty interesting characters. Sevro, who's Darrow's best buddy, is just this incredibly vulgar and brash and kind of dirty individual who is loyal to the end. He's like this loyal hound dog that becomes Darrow's best friend. And Mustang is all the archetypes, though, of the very tough female who is also a warrior by trade, and she's politically minded. She's kind of like the image of the perfect woman that Pierce has created in this story. So there's a little bit of frailty to her, but not really. In fact, by the end of it, I was almost feeling like Mustang was like she had no faults, like she had no flaws. Like she was always one step ahead of everybody else because she was the object of love interest to Darrow as he was more and more entrenched in Golden Society. And of course she becomes the love interest of one of Darrow's old friends at the Golden Institute, who they became enemies and they reconcile. So oh, sorry, was that a spoiler? I'm sorry. But anyway, there's a lot of really cool twists and turns, in my opinion, from a character story arc standpoint for the first two books. Lots of interesting changes of the guard. There's things that happen where Darrow proves that he's more than just a marauding war machine who's just out to kill everybody and overthrow the Gold Society. Very, very cool. The third book, however, has a tone that is very much, how do I put this? It's not so much predictable as it's just like, okay, I can see where this is going and I just need to get there already. You know, it kind of felt like Pierce definitely wanted to wrap this thing up very neatly, and he wanted to get to it as soon, not as soon as he could, because this was the longest out of the three, but everything he wanted to do would be wrapped up in a nice little bow by the end of Morningstar. And I have to say that, yes, I'm satisfied with the ending, and yes, I did go on Wikipedia a little bit and try to find out what was happening. But I will say this, the first book, Red Rising, was my favorite. It was the first book was my favorite out of the three, partially because the everything was new, yes, but the pace at which Pierce wrote the first one felt very raw. It felt like, you know, I'm not being duped over. This seems very honest. This is his interpretation of how a society might rule over other people, and it was cool. I really got into it, and to the point where I would literally go to work and get home, and I couldn't wait to read the rest. You know, I haven't had that experience with a book since I think I read Ender's Game, like the year or two prior to that. So the Red Rising is a phenomenal book. In my opinion, it was like a 5 out of 5 stars. Golden Sun continues a lot of the same pace that Pierce wrote with the first one, but now, yeah, not everything is as new, but I'm still left feeling like, what can you do now in this story so that I know there's a third one coming that's going to be really knock my socks off? This is cool. And he did do some cool things. There was a lot of twists and turns in that book. And Morningstar, which is definitely a playoff of the more religiously themed Morningstar of Lucifer, the Lightbringer. And that's kind of like what his main character, Darrow, ends up becoming, the Lightbringer of society. So there's kind of a little double meaning perhaps there. But it was very obvious to me that Pierce, again, wanted Morningstar to kind of be even bigger in scale than Golden Sun. It had to be bigger, which was hard to do considering what he had done in Golden Sun. I mean, in Golden Sun, he has armies of people fighting each other that are gold armies and obsidian armies and all these other colors and races, within the society. And by the time he gets a Morningstar, you're just like, okay, we can't get much bigger. Okay, we just can't get any bigger than where we're at. Now everything comes back to being very personal. Everything kind of shrinks, and the battles that are being fought now are in close quarters. There aren't giant warheads being slung across asteroids. And that, it does, okay, I don't want to send any more spoilers out. Those things happen. There are wars that are going on within this one. But the third book felt a lot more personal. You know, it wasn't on this huge grand scale anymore. And you kind of got to learn a little bit more about the different cultures and societies that existed within the society, which were the people, the Obsidians, which were these huge sort of silver, I think they're silver-eyed or black-eyed, I can't remember what eye color they had, but they're like six-fingered, like Viking-esque, you know, just living in the cold tundras of a planet orbiting, or a moon that was orbiting over I think Jupiter. Crap, I can't remember. But like I said, the three books kind of melded together as one. But good criticism I have on the series is that, you know, Pierce never loses his voice. You know, he definitely carries Darrow to a fitting end, the main character. He brings many other characters to great conclusions. In fact, some of the conclusions for many of the characters were more drawn out than the other ones than I thought there'd be. Like for some of the enemies that he establishes, the main antagonist, which is the current head of the society, or his main nemesis from the Institute where he learned how to fight, this guy that they call the Jackal, who ends up, of course, being, spoilers abound here. Okay, so I won't say what it is, but the Jackal ends up being his main nemesis in this entire thing. So I give Pierce tons of credit for his character development there and staying true to that. So would I recommend these books? Yeah, sure, I would definitely recommend them. They're written in a first-person perspective as it's happening, so everything's from Darrow's perspective. You know, there's never a chapter where you open it up and now it's from Mustang's perspective, or it's from Cassius's perspective, or the Jackal's perspective. Okay, that never happens in this series. So if you're someone who gets bored with Darrow easily, or you get bored with his character and what he's thinking or what he's doing, then you probably won't finish the entire series because it's entirely his viewpoint. So I found that to be kind of unique. I found that because normally when I read a book series, I like books that are third person. You know, I like getting into the heads of other characters. And that's me as a storyteller. I like doing that as a writer. When I see other people not doing that, I kind of wonder, well, what was the purpose of that? Like, why did you only want the perspective of one person? And granted, some of that could be that you want more surprises or you think there will be more surprises. So I don't know if that's what Pierce was going for. I'd love to interview him someday and ask him if that's the case. But overall, I give the series definitely at least 4 out of 5 stars, maybe like a 4.5, just because of the nature of the action that's in it. Yes, it becomes a little predictable at times, even though there is some unpredictable moments in there. But I think it's just because you get used to his writing and you're kind of like, you're waiting for it. You're waiting for the moment when this character turns or something unique is going to happen. Or you don't really know the plot within the plot. And that's the part of the storytelling that you either will have a love or hate relationship with. Because as I said in Stranger Things, my review for Stranger Things, I thought it so interesting that I kept waiting for something to twist and turn towards the end of the series, and it never did. Characters stayed true to who they were. They were loyal to their friends. There wasn't some government spy involved within the group that had been introduced in season 2. None of that happened. The characters themselves grew within the experiences they had, but there wasn't any exploitative of relationships. There wasn't any exploitation going on, is what I should say. And that really struck me, and I see that as more of the modern kind of version of writing, is that we have relationships so we can exploit them. And I remember reading a quick review over Red Rising when I first picked it up. It was kind of being touted as being this Game of Thrones meets Hunger Games. And I went, this is interesting. I'll check into that. And you really do get that feel. You do really do get this feel that relationships and friendships are to be exploited in this series. Like, Daryl runs into so many people who don't have his best interest in mind. They really don't. And it does make you feel a little bit like there's nobody that's completely loyal to this guy. And there are folks that end up becoming very loyal to him in the story. But even to the very end of the story, there's still secrets being kept. There's still things being hidden from other people. And it does make you wonder, as an audience, as someone reading this going, does this kind of story have the legs to last 20, 30, 40, 50 years because of the nature of the relationships that are made? And it's interesting because I think one of Pierce's ending notes was Daryl found strength through his friendships. And I would agree but disagree in some way based upon the entire arc of this character. I mean, he loses friendships. He gains friendships back. I mean, and granted, in war times, that kind of stuff may happen. You'll make allies with people you don't want to, and you'll make enemies of people that you don't want to. But I think all that being considered, it really does make one wonder, you know, how do we really view friendship and relationships and fellowship with people when it comes to a storytelling standpoint? I mean, maybe it reveals a little bit about ourselves. You know, maybe it reveals a little bit about how we navigate life and community with other people and how we view our relationships when they come out in our stories. And Pierce, to me at least, to be just from reading this story and reading some of his epilogue and or not the epilogue, but just his afterword and some of the acknowledgments that he did, he seems like the kind of guy that really does value friendships. You know, he values people that are close to him in his life. And that comes through as his end note. However, I still say that within the book, as part of my review, part of the series, there is this sense of relationships are to be used to my advantage in some way, shape, or form, and that does come across very quickly in many of the ones that Daryl runs into. So, all that being said, that is my review of the Red Rising trilogy. I know that Pierce has another series coming out, I think called like Iron Gold, which will be coming out next year. So I think I'm going to pick it up. I kind of like this universe he's made, and I'm curious to see what he's going to do with it going forward, if he's going to explore future endeavors or later endeavors. I mean, I don't know. But I do want to see where he goes with this, just because I finished a series, and it's like, let's see where it goes from here. But anyway, so if you're into that kind of thing or that science fiction piece, then absolutely check it out. The books are called Red Rising, Golden Sun, and Morning Star, and the author of those books is Pierce Brown. And this was your review by Josh Chase Felto for The Writer's Lens. All right, until next time, guys, I'll catch you later.